down ala haditanya vechein hi shechavu v'bayla lo tzidak subasa amai tazvenina nialehe v'tzubasa l'tovas l'baylam tovas ana v'hachavala dimachla l'gabe baal ekapseda. So we have a great eitzah. If she beats up her husband, so she'll sell her ksuba to her husband b'tovas ana. Why? Because what's the whole reason why we said this Eitzah doesn't work in the previous Sadia? That was because maybe she'll be Mochales. So, obviously, why would she be Mochales? To help her husband. So over here, she's not going to be Mochales. Or if she does, it doesn't hurt him. There's no Pseida. Avadim Remeir he. So the answer is that this doesn't work for a different sort of reason, because there's a halacha that you have to have a ksuba, and if there's no ksuba, we're concerned that he's going to divorce her. So, effectively, she sells her ksuba to her husband, and there's no ksuba anymore. So, yachin hashtanami megarish la, gavi la b'chaval aminah. So, okay, so she won't sell him the ksuba. It's the same thing, right? In other words, her ksuba is $200. And she owes him $200. She's only going to be able to pay should he divorce her. So effectively, there's no ksuba. Kigon dinash ksubasa mishum ahu porta lo masid tuva. No. The answer is that her ksuba is more. Ksuba is $200. She damaged him $50. So he still won't want to divorce her. So let's say her ksuba is more than a ksuba deraisa. She has a tosefes ksuba. So then that tosefes, surely she could sell him. There's no downside to that. So one of the things we're going to talk about is, are these numbers dafka? Are these random numbers? And there's really three possibilities. One possibility is, even if they're the same. Two is, as long as they're not the same. Or three is, no, you need this ratio, this specific ratio. So we'll get back to that question in just a moment. Let's finish the Gemara first. Al hadatanya kshem shalotimkor v'hitachtav kach lo tafsid v'hitachtav v'azimnen mishkach la demafsida v'echidami kigon denafish ksubasa m'ksuba deraisa. So what the Raisa, the Tosef, to say that it doesn't help. There are many times, many situations where you could resolve the question and cause her to lose her ksuba to pay for her damages that she caused. My taima zuzehu de ansuha. She needed cash, but she had no intention to be mafsid that special privilege that her sons would get when she died and then the husband dies. Kach, ocheres ksubasa lebaila, where you might have thought she's masid the ksubas banan dechrin, because the husband might not like this idea of ksubas banan dechrin. It sort of works against his own children still love sida ksubasa, ksubas banan dechrin. Why? Here too, my time was zuzehu dansua. And therefore, that's now based and remains intact. Okay. So, having finished the Gemara, let's try to figure out what we would do halacha lemaisa in cases of where a woman damaged other people's property, and in the case where she damaged her own husband. So let's look at we'll look at the Rashi and the Rambam. We'll start with the Rashi. Maybe just we'll just read it inside. I think it's Kedai. So take a look at the Simen Ches. Simen Tes. Ches shows the Katan. Ein li tapo bahen. Hachovel bahen. Ve'em shchal lebachim p'turim. Ad isha kamo. Right, the p'tur, the yes and ra, the cheshet v'katan is not like avanisha. Cheshet v'katan, since they're lav ba'onshin, so they're pater forever. Isha and aved are basically chayiv immediately. They happen not to have assets, and the meila, when they get some assets, they'll have to pay. So that's what the Mishnah said, but we know that the Gemara basically told us that there actually are a lot of situations where potentially a woman could actually have to pay even while she's married. So now he adds those points in. Because of Tanam Susha. So, this is simply paskening the Gemara that we saw yesterday, the Gemara Amud Aleph, that asked, why don't we force her to pay the Ksuba B'Tayfasana? And the Gemara answered very simply that but if she has Nechse Malog, so she could sell that B'Tayfasana, right? There's no concern with that, why not? And then he adds in Nechse Tzon Barzel as well, which is interesting. That didn't appear in the Gemara, but saying it makes sense as well. Because there's no reason why she shouldn't sell that. What's the reason why we tell her not to sell her Iker Tzuba, because she'll be Mocha? Presumably, the Rashi doesn't mean you can't be Mocha, you're Nechse Tzon Barzel, or you're Nechse Malod. It's more of a chiddush for Nechse Tzon Barzel, because Nechse Tzon Barzel you could have viewed essentially as a chov from him to her in placement of the money she gave him when they got married, and therefore she could be mochal that as well. And therefore, if you sell that to somebody else, she could be mochalas, and the whole thing is pointless. It doesn't seem to be assuming that. Rather, he's assuming that both Nechse and Malog, Nechse Tzon Barzel, she could sell for Tayvas Hanam. And that money would go to the person who happened to, she happened to damage. Avamana Masayim Shalalo, Amru Chachamim Shetim Kov Tayvas Hanam, the Titeim Lunach Balawi, sell that money of the Amana Masayim. Mishom De'amer Shmuel ha'mocher sh'tachol v'chaver v'chazer machlo u'machol lo machol. Chol agabe bai levadei machol, it's not going to help. Because she sells it, she'll be mochalas. V'atruch ha'beginu v'chadiru lo matrachina. V'avag ha'vtam along with every mayor. D'am aser lo adam shishas ishto v'lo k'suba. So maybe I'll say, no, actually, how could you be mochalas? Because then she can't remain married.
Azuz Mikolakom Yachzer Habal V'Yechtov Laksubacheres. This will be great for the Baal. The Baal's very happy that she's Mechalas and her Ksuba. So the Baal and her will make an arrangement. The Baal says, I'll tell you what, you'll be Mochel on the Lekuchos, and I'll write you a new Ksuba. Okay? V'Afagav D'Daimina Andina D'Garbi V'Timachol L'Baal T'Tzarech L'Sham L'Kayach. So actually, this is an issue of Tosis as well. We know the halacha is that if you're done dina d'garmi, if I sell you my shtar chov, right, like yesterday, except now it's going to be to Yomi because he's sitting over there. So I sell you my shtar chov to Yomi, and then I mochel the shtar chov. So now, it's true, you can't collect from Yomi anymore, mochel to Yomi, but I really ripped you off. So it's garmi. Because now you can't collect what you're entitled to collect, but Lamaisa, it's definitely caused you a loss. I mamish cheated you. So you have to pay. You have to pay Dina Degarmi. It's a discussion in Tosfos, not for now. How much you have to pay? Do I have to pay you the full value, the face value of the shtar, or what you paid, right? Got my shtar to Yoni, face value $1,000. I sell it to you for $500. So, and then I'm mocha. So I caused you a loss of $1,000, but you only paid $500. So that's an interesting discussion. It's just not for now. One way or the other, the Gemara, the Rush doesn't have this question. Why are we going to assume that she's going to be mochalas? If she's mochalas, she has to pay. Who does she have to pay? Whoever she happened to sell her ksuba to. So the Gemara is the Rush answers. It's easy for her to be mocha. So she sells her ksuba to Chaim. So it's true if Mitovas Hana, right? It's true that if she's mochala, she's going to owe Chaim money. But who cares? She doesn't have any money anyway. Right? So since she doesn't have any money anyway, so she'll owe Chaim money. She beat up Naftali, she owes Naftali a lot of money. So you'll say, she's not going to pay it. You'll say, let her sell a ksuba to Chaim and raise some money to pay Naftali. Nah. Because then Chaim will get ripped off because she'll be mochel her ksuba to the husband. Chaim's not going to get ripped off because she'll have to pay Chaim. She doesn't have any money to pay Chaim. She'll have to pay Chaim later when she gets divorced. That's a long way off. Anyway, clearly this is a woman who's not thinking about the long term. So she's going to be mochel ksuba. She's beating people up, you know. Okay, so that doesn't help. Good. Vim tomar tim kork subasa b'mayim ad habal v'az lo tucha limchol kimo shochiach harashmul mivardon me'ahid de kiddushin parish kadesh. It's also brought up in Tosfos, the concept of Maim and Shlashtan. The halacha is that even though if she sells her ksuba to Chaim, she could then be mochalas. Chaim won't be able to collect the ksuba from the Baal should she get divorced. But if she's mochalas her ksuba b'maim ad habaal, then she couldn't be mochal the ksuba. Okay. Tosa shows the proof that this is true from Kiddushim. We can skip the proof. What's the answer to the question? Skip a little down. When is it that Maimon Shlashtan works? The Pshad Maimon Shlashtan is like this. If Yoni owes me money, right? It's payable right now. Right now Yoni owes me $1,000. I sell that shtar to Phil in the presence of Yoni. So now I can't be mocha. But that's because it's collectible now. If I sell the ksuba to Yoni, she could still be mochala. I'm the woman. I could still be mochala if I sell to Yoni. Why? Because it's not yet payable. So the institution of Maim and Shlashtan doesn't prevent mechila. Alternatively, won't work for another reason. For my matzlashta to work, you'll need the Baal's presence, and it's not going to work, because remember, he's not into any of this stuff. The Baal and the woman, this destructive lady he married, between the two of them, they have a little agreement to help each other out, at least when it doesn't hurt them. So therefore, he won't agree to that. Good. So Adkan, Pasha, right? So that's the first half of the sugya. That's the sugya we saw yesterday. Now the sugya we saw today. What about when she beats up her own husband? Visha shchavu b'vayla. Ilo nefisha ksubasa mi chavala. Let's say her ksuba is not greater than her chavala. Ksuba is $200, her chavala is $200. So mizavna ksubasa l'bayla v'gavila v'chavala. So basically, the husband's going to take the ksuba from her as payment for the $200 that she damaged him. One second. If we do that, he's going to have to divorce her or write her a new ksuba. Midi hutayma elamishom shalote kalabein avlotzia hashanami ibayi megarishla v'gabi love chavala. Doesn't help. Why? Because let's think about what's going on over here. Over here, let's say we have two options, right? Either he doesn't sell her the ksuba, either she doesn't sell him the ksuba, or she does sell him the ksuba. If she doesn't sell him the ksuba, he's chayv l'garsha. Why? Because there's no reason why he wouldn't want to divorce her, because it's not going to cost him a cent to divorce her at this point. Or she does sell her the ksuba, then okay, if he doesn't write her a new ksuba, he's going to have to divorce her. So since Manafshach, he's going to basically have to divorce her, so there's no reason to protect her, and she's going to have to pay her debts to her own husband. There's nothing we could do about this. And then he's going to either divorce her, or if they want to remain married, he could either write her a new ksuba, or he could be mochal the chavala that she did to him. But there's no other eitzah. There's no eitzah, basically, of just ignoring this and allowing them to stay married. Aval izuter chavala velo nafish ksubasa miksuba deiraisa lo sita ksubasa. Let's say the chavala is a little less and her ksuba is only ksuba deiraisa. So if there's a ksuba is more than a ksuba deiraisa, so of course we'll make her sell that. Okay. But her ksuba is the minimal ksuba, $200. And moreover, the chavala is less. How much less? Sounds like any amount less. So she really didn't like her husband, but not enough to make the divorce. So she goes ahead. She causes him $199 of damage. Okay. So then, lo hafsida ksubasa. So, what's going to happen? The ksuba is going to remain $200, and she's going to have a debt towards him $199. Ein lo mar timkor ksubasa le'acher b'tovas hanah. The husband's getting nothing now, so maybe we should sell her ksuba to somebody else for tovas hanah. V'yotav ha'bal star lokeach b'shmo ve'az lo tucha limkor limcho. There's a way to avoid mechira k'di'isa b'ksuba ustekem de'ena ksuba b'shem ha'isha. The halacha is that you have to have a ksuba to your wife. Having a obligation to another party to be paid upon divorce, even though technically speaking it should be as effective as a ksuba in the sense of there being this reason not to divorce her, that's not the tekana of the ksuba. Good. Adkan. So let's chazer what's the halachos for the rush. So again, in the case of Yisha Shechav of the Bible, if she has Nechse Melog L'chorah, Nechse Tzom Barzel, what would we say? Sell it. Good. Kofan Asa L'mochon B'tov Asana. Right? Because that rule, the Rush didn't say that over here, but there's no reason why it would be, wouldn't be true, right? Just like you said, if she was chavla b'cheirin, she has to sell her nefsim alogin tzom b'arzel. So too here. Good. What if ein la nefsim alogin ein la or tzom b'arzel? So then, if chavla b'cheirin, we say piyasan ra, but chavla b'bayla, so then it's going to depend on how much the damage is versus her ksuba, right? Now, l'chora, even if there's no nefse melug and tzom barzel, there's tosefes ksuba, she should also have to sell that. He didn't mention that earlier when he talked about tzom barzel. He didn't mention that. Well, I guess he sort of did allude to that because he said ksuba deraisa. Okay, good. So if there is some tosefes ksuba here also, you would have to get rid of that. Right? That's what he says, that Ein la l'ksuba deraisa. So, good. Now, let's say no nechsei malot, no nechsei tzom barzel, no tosefes ksuba. The ksuba is 200, the nezek is 200 or more than 200. So then basically, she's got to sell him the ksuba. And he's going to have to divorce her unless he wants to be mocha on one of them, something. And we can't say, don't sell it, right? Usually we're not going to force her to sell a ksuba if that's going to cause her to have to be divorced. You don't have to get divorced to pay your debts. So here, why are we telling her to sell him the ksuba even though that's going to force him to have to divorce her? Very simple. Because Manavshach is going to have to divorce her as things stand now. Right? We don't force the husband to be mochel the money she owes him in order to stay married. If he wants to, he can. Good. But let's say the ksuba is 200 and the damage was 199. So then they could remain married. Now we don't say that she has to sell her ksuba. In fact, she can't sell her ksuba to him or to anybody else. Then she couldn't sell it to him because they wouldn't be able to get married, stay married. And that's because, like we said, we're never going to force her to sell her ksuba in order to pay her debts. And this will never say it differently. We're not going to force her to get divorced, sell her ksuba such that she'd have to be divorced in order to pay her debts. So therefore, she is off scot-free. Right? Good. And that's the Rashi's. That's what we say in the Tosefta, that if she's chavla b'bayla lo efsida ksubasa. Now again, the Gemara said what's that talking about? If chavla arba zuzei and the ksuba is a 25 slide. So the Rush doesn't say that. Again, like we said, when we read the Gemara, you could have read the Gemara as dafka. It's a 1-25 ratio. Right, because 4 zuz equals 1 selah. So if she has 4 zuz was the damage, and the ksuba is 25 selah, so that is ksuba is 25 selah, so that's 100 zuz. So it's 1-25. So if you read the Gemara Kapshuto, and there's one opinion in the Meiri who says that the Gemara is Kapshuto, but the Gemara is a Meduyak, literal. So the only time this will be true is if it's a 1-25 ratio. Now, why would that be? The Svara is very simple. Because even though we allow them to remain married if there is... We only allow them to remain married if there's still a, you know, significant financial disincentive to divorcing her. So if it's still 25-1, he's still not going to do it. Suba's 200, and she owes him 4, so it's still really not going to be, or 100, she owes him 4. There's still a significant disincentive for marriage. More than that, so then it won't work. That's possibility A. So again, the Rush doesn't say that. The Rush sounds like any amount. So why the Gemara said, you know, 4-100, that was an example. Could have also said 99-100. There are some other opinions in the Meiri. One opinion in Meiri is until the entire value of the Ksuba, and he has another opinion until half the Ksuba. So, whatever it is. Okay, good. So that's Shitas HaRash, right? I think we more or less understand it. Not so surprising, maybe, that the Gemara, when it says 4 to 100, it's La Dafka, and anything up to the entire value. But good. So now let's look at the Rambam. See how the Rambam paskens. The Rambam is Dalad Yud Ches. Right? Dalad Yud Ches and Dalad Chaf Aleph. So we'll go in order. Ha'isha Shechav Lo Bebaila, this Yud Ches. Bim Hayala Tosefes Biksubasa Mechai Bin Osa Limkor HaTosefes Lebaila, the type of Sanaya. So Rambam starts off with the latter case in the Gemara. She beats up her husband. So if there's some type of Tosefes, okay, she's got to sell the Tosefes for Tovas Hanah. The Gova Mimena Imrotza. Imrotza. This brings us back to the point that you mentioned yesterday, that we saw in Tosfos. That whenever we're talking about Mechira B'Tovas Hanah, it's going to be the decision of it'll be the decision of the Baal in this case, if that's worthwhile for him. The im ratzel garsha the ligvos min hakol gova. Alternatively, if he wants to divorce it, that's always an option. Then he gets everything. He'll pay the tuba, whatever that is. He'll demand from her whatever money she owes him. And lo haya la tosefes. Ain't a chol olim for lo ikar ksubasa. But if there's no tosefes, the ksuba is 200. So we don't make her sell him the ikar ksuba. Why? Shasa lo la adam lishos and ishto shachas for lo ksuba. Kadesh shalo take kalabein of lo tziya. Elan, that's about Kose v'aleh ha-shtar b'dnei chavalo. Oh, megarshim hodo ksubasa me ksubasa roi lo. So what does he mean, kose v'lo shtar b'dnei chavalo? So I don't think these are all the etzos of Tosfos. Tosfos came up with like a whole bunch of questions, possible ways to potentially avoid her being able to know. This is a different part. This is the Baal could write a shtar bidmei chavalo. In other words, if he wants to raise some cash now, so he's going to say, he's going to sell her debt to him, right? Namely, she owes him $1,000, right? Happens to be their ksuba is $1,000. So when she gets paid her ksuba, he's going to get $1,000, and that debt she's going to sell to some other guy. He'll sell to some other guy for whatever he could get for it. And this solves the issues of Tosfos. Fine. Now, sounds like from the Rambam, what's the halacha if the nezek is valued at the entire ksuba? What the Rambam say? He beat her up, she beat him up, and caused $200 of damage, and the ksuba is $200. What's the halacha? What the Rambam say? He didn't say it's divorcer, right? In other words, he's disagreeing with the verse. He's saying that they could remain married. But asar lo la'adam lishos es ishto v'lo ksuba. So there's no disincentive. So the answer is, the Rambam is assuming, no. That, I mean, practically speaking, that's true. Lamaisa, though, it's okay. She owes him $200. He owes her $200 for the ksuba. It's true. If he divorces her, he's going to practically have to pay nothing. But that's okay. As long as there's a ksuba, that's fine. In other words, he doesn't hold of this din that the Rush told us, that this din that the Rush told us, that if there's no practical disincentive of divorcing her, then they can't remain married. They can't remain as husband and wife. So the Gemara said, yeah, you know, we're talking about a case where it was a 25-to-1 ratio, right? And the Rush said, I'll have Dafka 25-to-1, even 24-to-25, right? And now the Rambam is saying, no, I'll have Dafka 24-to-25, even 25-to-25. It's no problem. Yeah, you're...
Yeah, so, where's the Rush being weak? You make him divorce his wife, because we don't want there to be no ksuba, because then he might divorce his wife.
So it's an interesting ha'ara, but the point is like this. They made a takana of asar lishos es ishto below ksuba. And that's true. That's a low plug. So, just like, you know, let's say she's mochalos on the ksuba, right? She says, ah, my dear husband, for your birthday, I'm giving you a birthday present. I'm hereby mochalos on your ksuba. So what would Reb Meir say? Sorry, lady, the husband has to divorce you now. Or he could write you a new ksuba if he wishes. But, right? But one second, she'll say, well, you made this for my protection, so he doesn't have to divorce her. Divorce me. And now you're telling me he has to divorce me? His answer is, yeah. That for the protection of the woman, so that he doesn't divorce her for not, they made a rule that there needs to be a ksuba. And that means, according to the Rush, that there has to be some sort of financial disincentive for divorce. The takana was for her sake. Now, you could have a situation where it's not going to help her, but that's the chiddush of the takana. That you can't have a matziv of marriage where divorce is so easy, right? Where the marriage is like, and maybe there's actually more to a mayor than just helping her not get divorced. Maybe it's, you know, so it's a matziv. You know, it's not like Kodematan Torah, where a person could just pack up and leave, right? They want there to be a permanence. And if not, it's like a bilas nus, because anytime you have a relationship where there's no cost to end that relationship, so it's like a bilas nus. It's like marriage kodem matan Torah. You could just get up and leave. It's like a pilegesh. You can't. It's nus. I mean, the Rabbanan maybe. Even if Ksuba's deraisa, there's din of a mayor might be the Rabbanan. But the point is, you can't have a situation of marriage whereby there's no cost to ending the marriage. You could just pick up and leave. I mean, he has to give her a get, but there's no disincentive of terminating the marriage. That's pilagshus. That's ishus kodem matan Torah. So the Rush as well. Chatzchila, you know, when you get married, you have to give it at least 200 or 100, whatever it is. Even if that's practically reduced, as long as there's something that's good enough. Whereas the Rambam is saying, no. And then the Meiri, the Yeshua Meiri says, it's not just something, but something too significant. How much? Either 4%, you know, the debt can't exceed 4% of the ksuba, there are 50%. The Rush is that it's good enough that there's something left. And the Rambam is saying, no, it doesn't matter that there's nothing left. Why? Because there is a ksuba. Technically speaking, there is a ksuba. Right? It's canceled out. Okay. Now, let's say the wife borrows, the ksuba is $200, and the wife asks her husband, can I borrow $200 from you? So say, Asar, all of a sudden, he has to write her a new ksuba, you've all for the debt? Okay, good. So far, so good? So that's Shitas Rambam. Now, halacha chaf alef. Havid v'ishim v'yasam ra, achoy vel bahen chayev. V'hen shechal lo achirim, turim. אבל משלמן לאחר זמן, אם נסגרשה האישה, או מזבעלה, או נשתחר העבד. שהרי בני דהיים, והרי הם בחוף שאין לו מה ידעה. So what does he say? So somebody, a woman beats up another guy, or another girl, or somebody. So she's p'tura until she's divorced. Now, what's omitted from this Rambam? Oh, exactly. What happened to Nechsei Malok? Doesn't the Gemara conclude, Hachmai Eskinan K'shein Lach? But the Gemara says, "Yesh laksuba nechsei malug." I shall have to sell that. Right? That was the first thing that the Rash told us. But the Rambam doesn't say that. So if you take a look at we noted yesterday that might be the position of Rashi as well. Al Hamishna. Okay, maybe it's not a diyuk that's mochrach from Rashi and the Mishnah, because you might be like the Avnim of the Gemara. But it does sound that way from Rashi and the Mishnah. Rashi and the Mishnah says that this din of the Mishnah of Piyas and Ra applies even when she has no simulok, right? Like the Rambam. So take a look at the Shulta Giborim, Lamed Amad Beis Bedapi Rif, Oz Beis. He asks on the Rush the following question. If you are going to say that she's chayavis to sell her no simulok, betov sana, so why aren't you worried about Mechila? Or to put it differently, maybe the Rambam is based off of the fact that we're not going to tell her to sell her Nechsei Malog because she'll be Mochelas. What's going to happen? The woman, right, I'm a lady, I beat you up, so I'm going to sell, fill my Nechsei Malog to pay the debt. So I'll sell it to you, I'll raise $100, and then I'll just be mochel. She's going to mochel her ksuba. Surely she'll be mochel less than the same look. What difference does it make to her? Anyway, she doesn't get them until she's divorced. So she's willing to be mochel. Right? So why didn't the Gemara say that? The Gemara could have said it. Once the Gemara answered that this concern, we didn't need to, you know, come on to that chiddush right away. First, we could have said, "Oh, hachmai eskinan k'shein lo nechsei malug." But then the Gemara asked, "She should sell her ksuba," and the Gemara answered, "No, because she'll be mocha." Oh, once that reality was true, so then that same concern will exist for nechsei malug. So it will turn out that she can't. We're not going to force her to sell her nechsei malug. Because it won't help. It'll just, she'll be mochel. And the Gemara already told us we're concerned with that. So, basically, now that explains the sheet of the Rambam, and the sheet of the Rif, the sheet of the Smug, sheet of Rashi, that Lamaska, after the Gemara realized that you can't sell the Ksuba because she'll be mochel, that same reason will apply to the Nechsei Malok. Now, what about the Rush? So, the Rush says, Mapito. Can't be mochel nechsei malug. Nechsei malug. What could you could be mochel a debt, right? If a ksuba is a debt, tosefes ksuba is a debt. You could even understand nechsei tzon barzel. That's a debt. It's a debt that the husband owes her, payable upon divorce. Nechsei malug is ownership. She owns a nechsei malug. The baal is ochel peiros. So, how in the world could you be mochel nechsei malug? So, assuming that that's the correct shot in the Rambam, that the reason why we don't tell her to be mochel the nechsei malug is because mechila works. So, what comes out is a very interesting tezach, which is that even nechsei malug are a chov to the baal. May therefore a mahani mechila. Now, why would you look at it that way? So maybe, maybe it's because we paskin kinyan peros arka kinyan aguftami. And therefore, in a certain sense, we look at the Baal as the Baalim of this property, such that Mechila works.
Can you run Paskin out that way?
Kinyan Peros, the Ram Paskins, the problem is the Rambam passes like Reish Lakish. So that's an interesting question, because we know that there's Takana Susha, though. You can't sell it. So the question is, could you say that once Chachamim, I was going to say a different answer, but actually just thought of this now, so see if it makes any sense. Once the Chachamim were misakein Takana Susha, that she can't sell it. So essentially, when we take away her rights to sell it, we could look at it in one of two ways. You know, probably the intuitive way to look at it is still 100% hers, but it happens to be she can't sell it. It's like a restriction, right? No selling. We don't allow you to sell it. It's like little children. They own property, and we also don't allow them to sell it. Because we're afraid they'll get ripped off, they'll sell things against their best interest. It doesn't mean that the kid doesn't own the property. It's just a no-sale restriction. Maybe the Rambam understands that Takana Susha teaches us that we, because you know, we don't want this Eva, we don't want her to be able to sell the Nechsein Malod, we sort of take them out of her ownership. And we re-designate them as actually a chol from the Baal to her. Now, it's true that it's not a normal chol, right? It's not a normal chol, but you know, it's karka, after all. It's an object. But actually, that's the way we look at it. In other words, Chachamim made Takanas Usha. They didn't make this sort of artificial rule that is against the principles of Choshen Mishpat. Yes, you own this, but no, you can't sell it. That Chachamim, a lot of times when they made Takanos, didn't work that way. Or you could even say that it happens automatically. Once we restrict her from selling it, which in a certain sense is the most primary aspect of ownership, so then we don't see it as belonging to her anymore. So effectively, then this is like a chov. And if it's like a chov, then mahani mechila. Then mahani mechila. And that's what's going on. Davi Ezri is a different shot in the round on the table up there. Okay. So that, yeah.
Just going to that shot, I didn't sign up for the Gemara, because the Gemara in the later shot the Gemara said that even if you hold it to Kamiz Usha, like the Baal still can't free the Eved with the Shein or Ayin.
Oh.
It doesn't sound like
so let's get to that Gemara. Good. So let's do that right now. Again, as he said, even if you hold this pshat, we're not going to go ahead and make it entirely the Baal's either. So then the question is, what's this going to be like? Right? Ironically, actually, you see Cain Zed in the Rush, who started equating the same look in Nechsei Tzombarza, although in a different way, right? Again, the Rush disagrees with this. He holds that she would have to sell it. But you see that. But good. So that's a good question. And I think let's read on in the Gemara. Let's get to that Gemara that you just quoted now, and see what does the Gemara tell us about the nature of Nechsei Malug, and even after Takana Susha, because Adarabba, you could also say in that Gemara, you see exactly what I'm just saying. The Halaya, we say that even if you were to normally hold Kinyan Peros, Kinyan Peros Lavka, Kinyan Hagof, like Reish Lakish, maybe after Takana Susha, So if she doesn't, she is not Biyomo Yomayan, or Shein Vayan, right? In other words, she's not B'Shein Vayan. So why? Why don't we say she's not B'Shein Vayan? No, it's not true. She is still the Iker Vayan, but Takana Susha, she's just restricted in selling. So you could say no. That Takanas Usha means you can't sell it, and therefore it's not Shach Shifra, which is equivalent. Or it could be actually sort of alluding to this Yesod, that after Shein V'ayin, after Takanas Usha, she's not B'Shein V'ayin because she's not the Baalim anymore. In other words, Adarabba, the Makor for looking at Takanas Usha this way, it could be from that.
The other price, right? It matters which price you look at.
Ah, so then that's going to be a good question. So we have to figure out how it comes out, right? And which of the four permutations of the Gemara you accept. So let's actually look and see that Gemara, and then maybe we'll go back to this question and figure out if this supports it, rejects it, neutral. Okay, good. So let's see the Gemara. Lema takanas usha tanayi. Right, so we tried to bring the brisa, you know, that's how we got into this whole conversation. Tanayi support for takanas usha. So we're still trying to do that. How so? Tani chada avdi malol yotu b'shein v'ayin leisha avalol ish. So if she punches the Eved of Nechsin Malog, it goes free. Not if he does. V'tanya idach, lol ish, lol isha, neither. Savurta guliyama, kinyin peris, lav. Kinyin aguf dami. So really, we hold, like Reish Lakish, she's really the Baila. Ikar Shein Baila. Baila, bottom of the Manda amr, isha. Lastly, takana susha. So since she could sell it, even though L'chora, we'll talk about this later when we get to Hafkir, Shechor Mafkir Midei Shiva, but let's for now assume L'chora, she can't be M'shachor, because even when she sells it, I won't even take a stand on that. We'll leave that question open. But we know that if less late to the Kama Susha, so she can't sell it now to get rid of the Baal's authority, right? Let's say, without Takana Susha, not like Reish Lakish. So we say she's able to sell the property, right? So what does that mean she sells it? That doesn't take away the Zuchus Peros of the Baal. All it means is that when she dies, he's not going to get it. That's when the Lekuchos will pick up on this. So still, interestingly enough, if she punches the Eved in the tooth, then the Eved will go free. And presumably that means immediately, right? So this is Maskia, the Shibud of the Baal, for Peros. And that might be because Shechor is Maskia Midei Shibud. Maybe actually she would be Meshachar. No, maybe this is even stronger than regular Shechor. Think about that, because it's Memela, the Torah said it happened. But one way or the other, we're saying now, according to this, that if you hold it to Takanas Usha, then Lamaisa, she is still the Iker Shein Baalim, because Kinyan Peres is the Kinyan of Dami, so therefore she's Bedin Shein Baalim, not him. And moreover, if she punches the Eved, he goes free immediately. Good. But if you don't hold it to Takanas Usha, so then lo ish v'lo ish, right? Now again, this is perhaps along the lines of what we just said, which is Takanas Usha isn't just a, again, you could say in two ways. You could either say Takanas Usha is just a technical rule that prevents her from selling, but still, once we take that away from her, even though you don't have enough bialas to for this din of Shein Vayin to apply, or we'll say no, that Takanas Usha isn't just saying there's a... It, well, I guess, and if you said that, you'd have to say something along the line, which is reasonable, that Mechira is perhaps the strongest indication of ownership. So even when you technically speaking have a kinyan aguf, but if you can't sell it anymore, you're not going to... Or no, that once she's not the automatic recipient of this, so then she's not even the Bible. We can't say she's the Kershem Bible, right? So Taganas Usha effectively, either intentionally or automatically, gets rid of the Iker Shem Bible, right? And again, that would explain very nicely why, if you hold of Takanas Usha, Mechila would work. Mechila would work. Good. That's option A. Option B, well, right, and that would work. In other words, that would explain both of these positions. We say, well, because there's another way to explain this, and therefore you're not forced to conclude Takanas Usha is actually the subject of Machlokes tonight. Well, Kulei Ama is lo Takanas Usha. Ella, Kan Kodem Takana, Kan Lachar Takana. Good. That's effectively the, in terms of Lamdas, it's the same thing. It's saying if you hold the Takanas Usha, then the Eved doesn't go free based off of him or her. And if you don't hold it, or if it's before Takanas Usha, then it will go free from her. And everybody would agree, even post-Takanas Usha, won't go free from him, right? Which is also interesting. In other words, even though we just explained that Takanas Usha takes away her Iker Shem Bailin, so then maybe he'll say, woo! So also, if that who's left? It's him, right? Because right now he is Peros. And moreover, if she dies, he's going to get this. So she doesn't really have her kinyan aguf definitively anymore. But, and it's true that if he dies, she's going to pay him. Sorry, he's going to pay her. Or if he divorces her, he's going to pay her. But still, maybe we'll say at this point he has the Iker Shem Bailin. I mean, we don't say that. We don't say that. We don't say, even though Takanas Usha takes away from her, right, it doesn't automatically give it to him. So that it results in a situation of neither party having a sufficient Shem Bailin for the din of Shem Bailin to apply. Either because there's kilu, neither are sufficient bialim, or no, because shem v'ayin is a technical point that even if it's not tall, it's not as much taller in the shem bialim as much as certain zukuyos, and neither has a zechus of shichwar, her because of Takanas Usha, and him because kinyan peres lof and kinyan aguf tami. And therefore, memela, the result is that neither of them are going to be bedin shem v'ayin. Fine. So the ibay same. Okay, option three. Edi v'edi lacha takanas usha. This lehu takanas usha. Hello, manda amar isha liish v'lo liish. My time for the rabba. Tell me, rabba. Hektish chametz v'shechor. Mafkin midei shibut. Oh, so now we have a very fascinating idea. Until now, we were assuming that once there is Takanas Usha, surely she can't. There's no shame behind. Why? Because of the shibud of the Baal to Peros. Right? So, and her freeing it, it's not via that shibud. Huh? But maybe actually, you can. Maybe that assumption we made before isn't so good. Since Lamaisa, even post Takanas Usha, she's still Baila Sagor. Right? She still has. Takanas Usha prevents her from selling it. But Kenyan Pierce Lath Kenyan Agof Yami, and she's the Baila Sagor. So her Shechwar could work. And therefore, Shem V'ayin certainly would work. Certainly Shem V'ayin would work. Yesh Ladun, according to this, Shechor would work also. Maybe Shechor would work as well. Shechor is Mafkia Midei Shibud. So, What are we saying basically now, actually? Don't look at it the way we're just saying. Say, look, she is certainly limited in her rights to this event. Number one, she has no kin in Paris. That goes to the Baal because of marriage and the principles of Muslim law. Number two, she can't sell it. Okay. But the principle of Afdish Chametz V'Shefer Mafkin Midei Shibud means, well, we're going to explain this more carefully in a minute when we talk about Tosfos, but basically what does that mean? That means effectively that since when it comes to chametz, sort of Hashem's doing it, when it comes to hekdesh, so since the owner has the ability to be makdesh, there's a simplest way to understand this, is that creates a chalos and a chat. So you have enough ownership to create that chalos. And then Mela, the other person, was a shibud, is deprived of his right. It's not very fair. Not very nice, but it's a reality. The hekdesh creates a chalos. Since you're the bialim, you could be makdish. That's the rule. The bialim are allowed to be makdish something. And that makdish, that hekdesh, will effectively prevent the person who has a shiva from being able to collect. So again, it's not nice. If I own something, I could also burn it. And even though you have a shibud on it, the object, you're not going to be able to collect anymore. So to hear your ability to collect will be paka. Paka mide shibud. So to shechor. So when she punches the ahmed, goes free. Aye, what happened to the kinyan of the bow, the kinyan paris of the bow? Tough luck. Okay. So that's such a good svara. If you're going to say shechor is mafkia mide shibud, and certainly then Shein Ba'ayin should be Mafkia Midei Shibud. So now, what does the other opinion hold? The other opinion that says that the woman can't, it's not Yotzim Shein Ba'ayin for the woman, so L'chayra, that must deny Rava's principle. So Lema de Rava Tanayi, the opinion that says she can't do it must be against Rava. Maybe in Achina, if you don't like Rava, even though there is Tekhama Susha, Bavade, at least if you don't like Reish Lakish, Bavade, if she, Mikaradin, should be that if she punches the Avid, it goes free. But Amur Rabbanan, Lishibuda Debal, they made him extra super duper strong. Now, sort of interesting, you know, how far that goes. But basically, this is along the lines of what we were saying before, which is that post-Takanas Usha, they made his zchus stronger than it would be normally if you have a kinyan peros. And that wasn't enough to prevent her from being mafkishi, but so they made it super duper strong, right? They strengthened it in two ways, effectively. One with the Takanas Usha, and two with a further takana, or this might be part of Takanas Usha, of Amur Rabbanan L'Shibudei Debal, and that's actually part of the Takanas Usha, and that would prevent her from being a Meshachta. Okay? Vibai Seima. So I guess this is really option five, if you consider the previous one of Rama bin Tanayi as an option. It's option five, but really option four. Vibais Ema. Dukuli Ama. Laslo Lani Tanay Takanas Usha. Nahacha. Pekinian Paris Kekinian Agofka Mifligi. Ah! So now, Givalda. If you hold Kinyan Peros is Kekinian Agofdami. So then, surely, when she punches the avid, it doesn't go free, because the husband's thicker violin. So that would be lo leish velo isha. And if you hold kinyan peros are lav kinyan agruf dummy, so then it would be go leisha velo leish. Now, what's interesting here is you might have thought to say that if you hold Kinyan Peros are lav Kinyan Aguf Dami, so if you hold Kinyan Peros to Kinyan Aguf Dami, then it shouldn't be the din of Lo Leish of Lo Leish. What would you have expected the din to be? Leish of Lo Leish. Because who's the Iker Baalim? The Baal. The Iker Baalim is the Baal, so then it should be Leish v'lo Leisha. So you could say that's true, but still doesn't make any sense. Because even though we're going to treat the Baal as the Iker Baalim, he can't be Meshach or the Eved, right? Because she still has the Kinyan Aguf. Even though you say Kinyan Peres Kinyan Aguf, I mean, the Isha is still the Baal is Kinyan Aguf, right? For example, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't say that the Baal could sell the Nechse Melug such that she won't get it upon divorce. That's just taking away what she's entitled to. So therefore, Kinyan Peres Kinyan Aguf Dami gives you a number of, you know, tchuyos, number of things. It could be Navy Bikurim Bikore and say Adamash and Asata Li, but still, you know, ultimately it is going back to the other party, and therefore Eino B'din Yom, sorry, Shein V'ayin. But maybe let's say something like Yom Yomayim, as the Gemara is going to say, will apply, right? Will apply. That's L'chora if you have our Girsa. Now, there is another Girsa. The Girsa in Tosos, of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Baruch. He takes this line out. The way he would read the Gemara is like this. So, if that's true, who would be the view that says lo leish the lo leisha? Who's that? Elazar. Elazar holds that shneim einim b'din yomu yomayim, and also meimar shneim einim b'cholim limkor. So also, ba inachanami. Actually, if you hold of Rabbi Yochanan, kinyan peres kinyan aguf dami, so then what would be? Then we would say very simply that you're the Iker Baalim, and you can you're b'din yomu yomayim, you're maybe bikurim. And the din of Shein V'ayin is also true by you. You know, it has to go back to the woman. I don't know, maybe it's also like, it's also like Hektish Chom Shech Omechim Mafkim Midei Shibur. Something along those lines. So that's going to be that Girsa. And then we get into this fascinating Plukta de Tanai. So what's, I guess, let's finish the Gemara now, and then tomorrow we will, we'll have to analyze this. The Plukta de Tanai tonight, Titania, Amokha Abdel Lachar, Upasak Imao, Amanash, Isham Shu Shoshim Yom, Isham Shem Shoshim Yom, Ermeir Omer, Risham Yashim Din Yom Yomayim, Mepnei Shutachta, Sabar Kinyin Peres, Kinyin Aguftam, good. So it's very simple. Right? Who's going to be the din yom or yomayim? If you hold kinyan peros arke kinyan haguf, summon meila. Yeah. If you don't know, sheni yashna b'din yom or yomayim. Why? Mepnei shehu kaspo, kasavar kinyan peros, lav kinyan aguf dami. So here, pretty straightforward. We're basically, as we, you know, we sort of mentioned this at the very beginning of the sugya, that the dinim of kinyan peros and kinyan aguf dami are basically going to be talui in this question of who's the Iker Baalim, and this is one of the squios of the Bible. If Yosi Omishneim Yeshim the Din Yom Yomayim, so this is very interesting. Why? Zem b'pnei shu tachlo, zem b'pnei shu kaspo. Misab kalei. Kinyin peris ike kinyin agof dami. Olav, ike kinyin agof dami. Misab kinyin agof. So this is interesting. Now there's no inherent reason to possibly say that this position is true, that shneim b'dinyon yomayim. It has to be by whoever it really belongs to. But since you're misupik, so what's the idea of yomo yomayim? It's a kula. Whoever's the bailiff is not executed. So we don't know who the bailiff is. So if the first guy does it, we'll say, well, we can't execute you because maybe you're b'din yom yomayim. The second guy does it, we say, well, we can't execute you. Maybe you're b'din yom yomayim. So memela machmas safek shneihem are b'din yom yomayim. But not Herod. Or Lazaro omer shneihem eino b'din yom yomayim. So this is very interesting. This has to be inherent because we're killing the person. Why? Zeh lefish eino tachtav. Right? That's the balkin in agoth. Zeh lefish eino kaspo. That's the balkin in payrolls. Now, one of the things we have to figure out within this view is what does he hold in terms of kinyan peiros, kinyan aguf dami or not? Or it doesn't matter, because he has exeris akasu. Amar Rav amai tamid Rav Lazar. Amar krak, ki kaspo hu, kaspo am yuchad lo. So that exeris akasu tells me that you need kaspo am yuchad lo to have the din of shem yom yomayim. It's not kaspo am yuchad to either the first or the second. Right? In other words, as I was saying before, it's just that Jesa Kasab Lafkia, one of them or both of them. Or what? Kaman Azal Hadamar Amemar, Ish Vishish Machmach Sin Lot, Lazal Loklum. The Rashi assumes this means even if they were Machu Vasachas together, which is an absolutely remarkable idea. Because, you know, usually I would think that between the two of them, there certainly is ownership, right? So, if Machu Shneim Ke'achad, it would seem to be inconceivable that they couldn't be able to sell, right? How could it be, between the two of them, this property is owned, right? It's not Hefker. So between the two of them, it's owned. So why can't they get together to sell it? That's fascinating.
Because they're not a single entity.
So why can't they become a single entity or act as a single entity? So let's figure that out. I mean, you're right. You have to. What does that tell us? What does that tell us? That they can't. And it's really two things. Because even if you're going to say no, you're right. They're not a single entity. And not only that, but they can't become a single entity. But I still don't understand because. Whatever it is, she is 40%, he is 60%. So if they both sell their halakim, why doesn't the recipient get it? Right? Whatever. Ma macha rishon l'sheni kol zchus sheyesh lo. So she sells the lokeach every zchus she has. He gives the lokeach every zchus he has. Bishlam, are you going to tell me that there's no din yomo yomayin? That I could understand, because that's a gzer sakasa. That's like, you have to be, you know, you have to have the total ownership. The first guy doesn't have total ownership. The second guy doesn't have total ownership. The first guy doesn't have total ownership because he has Kinyan Peiros, but no Kinyan Aguf. The second guy doesn't have total ownership. He has Kinyan Aguf, but not Kinyan Peiros. Neither of them have total ownership. The Torah says, Kaspo Miuchad, Lo Gzer Sakasa, Shaina. Makes a lot of sense. Right? But here, when it comes to Mechira, it's not gzer sakasa. She is a certain thing, he is a certain thing. She has X, he has Y. I don't know what X is, I don't know what Y is. But I know that X plus Y equals 1, equals ownership. So if she sells X to the same guy, she sells X to Phil, and he sells Y to Phil, there's nothing left. Phil has everything. So why doesn't that work? This would seem to indicate a very interesting notion, which we'll talk about more tomorrow, just to start getting you thinking. Maybe that's not true. Maybe this is a helpful analogy, would be corporate ownership versus, let's say, shutfus. And Rashi compares this to shutfus, actually. But corporate ownership versus shukvas. Now, what do I mean by corporate ownership? Corporate ownership is the notion that is different than a standard partnership, right? If Phil and I have a shukvas in this table, I own half the table, he owns half the table. There's private ownership. We each have 50% of the private ownership. Corporate ownership is different. This, again, this is an analogy. This isn't, I'm not saying the Gemara is talking about corporate ownership, but I think it's a helpful analogy. No, who owns the table? The corporation. We're gonna call this corporation Blue. Blue owns the table. Phil and I each have one share in the corporation. My share is 50% of the stocks, his share is 50% of the stocks. Do I own 50% of the company? No. Does he? No. In a sense, we do. We each hold 50% of the stocks. But the chair, the table's owned by Blue, the corporation, not by either of us. Right? So, in American law, that's very important. That's, for example, what causes limited liability. Right? If the table falls and breaks somebody's leg, Chas v'shalom, I can't be sued and he can't be sued. Only the table could be sued. If the table is worth $50, even though it caused $1 million in damage, the guy only got $50 out of $1 million. Now, halacha may not allow for Phil and I to create a corporation in the table and thereby limit our liability. That construct might not exist. But the notion that the table could be owned between the two of us, but neither of us are considered owners, might be what's happening here. In other words, she doesn't own it, and he doesn't own it. Is it owned between the two of them? Yes. But why can't we sell it? Because she could sell what she has, he could sell what he has, but that's still between the two of us. We're not half owners. We are shareholders, right? She's a shareholder, he's a shareholder. And therefore, perhaps you can't even sell it. Now, let's give a mashal. Are there any places that you see something like that in halacha? Let's consider public property, like cities, and not property in the city, but the city, or wells, or parks, or the like. Right? They're owned by the inhabitants of the shul, for example. Who owns this shul? Right? So legally, there's actually like a board of trustees. They don't own it, but they govern the shul. Who owns the shul? The shul. Well, let's look about it in halacha. So when the shul was built, you know, a bunch of people made a donation, and they bought the property and built the shul. Do we say that those donors own the shul? Not necessarily. Right? It's not like a bunch of people got together and built a home, and the shul belongs to the tzibur. So perhaps they can make the decisions about the functions of the shul, like whether they're going to, you know, get a kollel, but pay for air conditioning, whatever it is. There's a famous marach or zerua that talks about tfusus abayas. It's a little complicated to get into the details. But the halacha he shows from a Gemara, it's a very strong raya, though not everybody agrees to this, that we would think that a baal, somebody bequeaths an estate. So, and there are two brothers. So the two brothers each own 50% of the estate. And then you just have to figure out how to divide it, right? So a lottery or the like, but it's like partners. The two brothers are like partners. But there's a halacha about kalabot, that a certain penalty you have to pay. And the halacha seems to actually recognize the estate as a single unit as it was when the father was alive, even after he's died. It's just the two brothers are shareholders. The shareholders can decide to dissolve and to make a chalukah, and then at that point it's going to become private ownership. But until that point, it's a type of corporate ownership. the two brothers have shareholders in this Tfusas Abayas. But they're not halachically, the Nafkaminas Kalba, or maybe other Nafkaminas, they're not halachically Shutfin. Maybe that's what's going on over here. So Mamer says they both can't sell it. And here's a very interesting idea, because, you know, the question is, where's a Mamer coming from? Sounds like, we say a Mamer holds like Reb Elazar. Well, Reb Elazar is a Jeres HaKasav by Yom HaYomayim, Ki Kaspo Hu. So who says you could extrapolate? So maybe a Mamer is a Sfara, but then it says Reb Elazar. The Tosfos says, well, maybe actually a Mamer is coming off of the next Gemara. What's the next Gemara? Man Tana Ladatan Rabban and Misha Yuchatz Misha Chatz Yuchatz Yuchatz Ben Chorin B'chein Avet Shal Shnei Shutfin and Yos Boshi Yavarin Shem Chozim Amr Lay Yamanuchar Ravashi Hachi Amr Mishmei Du Rava Rebbe Lazar He Milo Amr Lazar Kasbo Yuchad Lo Hachanami Kasbo Abdom Yuchad Lo. So, is this a Svara or a Gzera Sarkasa? It could be the Gemara both ways. It could be a Drasha, Avdo, which implies Avdo Yuchalo, just like Kaspo, Kaspo Yuchalo. So we have a Drasha in two places. We can't learn, apparently, then, this from Yomo Yomai. Okay. Well, what about Mechira, that Shneim Enim Yuchalo Mumkor? So Tosa says, well, it makes sense to learn Mechira from this din, but not from the first din. Why? Because Mechira is more like Shechor. And Yom HaYomayim Shein Ba'ayin is Shechor. Now, that makes sense. Except then the Gemara is a little out of order, right? The Gemara should have first had... So, yeah, maybe there's no other way to understand it, so we'll be Docha. What does Rashi do? Does Rashi read of that? And if this is, and anyway, you could ask, if these are both Xeris HaKasavs, maybe it shouldn't apply to Mechira, or maybe we learn Mechira from, Tosas will learn Mechira from Shechor, because it's the same. So that's the big question in the Sugya that the Rishonim deal with, and we'll talk about the Rishonim tomorrow. We're going to focus tomorrow on, there's a lot here. Tosas Yom Maskel Hekdesh, there's a lot there. Tosas Yom Maskel Rebbe, Tosas Yom Maskel Kaman. That's going to be the second half of tomorrow's year. And then the Ravid, the Tosfos HaRid. You should see both the Ravid and the Tosfos HaRid. Very, very important. The first half of tomorrow's year is going to be on, I guess, the first Tosfos, the Maskel Hekdesh, and the way Hekdesh, what does Hekdesh Chametz V'Shechor Nafkimi Yeshiva work mean? And we'll see four or five approaches in Rishonim, maybe three main approaches in Rishonim to this question. Very important question. You guys already did the sugya very recently because you were in the kollel, so you won't have to review that very much. But there's the Rashi and Psachim, there's the Taisus over here, there's Shitas Rabbeinu Tam that Rabbi Schechter mentioned. I wasn't there, but I was told by Tyler that Rabbi Schechter gave the Shir Kvali on this at Lyceum. Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, which is in the Sefer Yasha, it's quoted by the Rashba in Gittin, also really by Taisus in Gittin. We'll talk about the Shita of the Rush and the Ran and the Darim. The Shita of Rashi is explained by the Ksos, which Rabbi Schechter mentioned in the Siyam. We'll just sort of flesh out some of the details that Rabbi Schechter said in the Siyam for the Kol Seder. I guess you're excused. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, it's Chazara for them. So, in this Tosfos. So this is a big Sugya. It's a Shas Sugya, but it's over here as much as anywhere else. So that'll be the first half of tomorrow's shiur. Then we'll be learning the Sugya of Hekdesh Chametz Shechor.